You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Christian. You will actually see him every day towards the back with that same smile. But most of you, I don't know whether you guys have or not have a chance to actually have a conversation with him. A man with an incredible story, but I don't want to sort of put the wagon in front of, well, you know how it goes. Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your favorite cereal?
All right. My favorite cereal. First of all, I just want to say that, you know, I got a haircut since that picture. So, just so you know. Well, you know, my name is Christian Ramirez. I'm from Panama, born and raised.
Panama's in the house somewhere.
Panama? Who's from Panama here?
Yeah, Richard is from Panama.
And Jamaica and some other places. Anyways, I'm from Panama, born and raised there. I thought I was going to have a life there for some reason. I ended up in the United States. That's my second part of my life, and I wanted to play soccer ever since I was 8 years old, and that was my life. That's all I wanted to do, and my life is basically soccer.
Yeah. And your favorite cereal is?
I don't have one. I like all cereals.
Boo! Yeah.
I like all cereals. If it's got sugar, I like it.
That's all. So, you played soccer for the entire, you wanted to tell us a little bit about how that journey was, especially growing in Panama and making that transition over to the United States and how that whole thing worked out.
Okay, so when I started playing soccer, I fell in love with the game, and I was so obsessed with it that I'll be that weird kid that in high school would not go to parties or drink or anything like everybody else was doing. I would just go to practice, and I did it by myself. I didn't have support from my parents or anything like that, like you would see normally, you know, like any friends or anything like that. I don't know, it was a weird thing for me. It was all that I wanted to do. And then that took me into, when you graduate high school, it goes into, you know, what are you gonna do with your life? You know, that question. You have to pick a career even though you don't even know anything about life.
No pressure, right?
No pressure. And, you know, I don't know, my mom always told me, hey, whatever you do, make sure you get a degree, because you never know. And I guess she was right. So, you know, mamas, you know, you're always right. Anyways, that took me into how can I study and play soccer at the same time? Little did I know that I was going to end up in the United States, where I came. I was 18 years old, and I ended up getting a soccer scholarship. And I went to college through soccer. So that's the nice part of the story.
I just sort of want to interject here, because I know at that age, you started playing at 8. Right around 17 or 18, an email gets sent, you received a scholarship offer. But then you transition from Panama, a country that doesn't speak English, to the college you went to. All they speak is English. How was that transition and the culture and everything else that you sort of had to get yourself acclimated to?
Well, you know, I just thought of my friend Nesta, that she always tells me that I speak like Ricky Ricardo. So that's how it was. So, you know, I'm trying to communicate. I can't really communicate. It was a culture shock. But also, the main thing for me, not much of the language, but it was the fact that I was, for the first time, you know, on my own, because I was in a different country. My mom was not around. No one in my family was around. So I was kind of free and wild, and you know what I mean? You know? So I got pretty wild. So that's really what happened. You know, I kind of became, I kind of started living real life, you know, where, you know, you have every decision you make, you know, has a consequence. I didn't know. I just wanted to have fun, and that's really what went down.
So one of those good choices you made, you met a special someone.
Yes.
That's a cue. Go ahead, bro. This is a chance for you to get your brownie points. Go ahead.
Yeah. So yes, I met this beautiful young lady. She was in my accounting class because I went to study finance. So she was accounting. We had this overlap class, and it was accounting. And I met her, and she was my girlfriend then, and now she's my wife. I know.
Should we tell her to stand up? No, I'm joking. No. She's we she's love you, Jess.
She's shy, so, you know, don't put it out there.
So at this point, you're going through that. You graduate college, and you're still pursuing your career and trying to become a professional soccer player. Tell us a little bit in terms of what happened, in terms of that transition from now, from Panama to the United States, going to college. Now, from college, you then make the transition into trying to make it into the professional.
Yes. So, as I said, this whole time, all I wanted to do was to play soccer. I went to school in order to play soccer, but also have the degree as a backup plan. When it came down to it, I graduated from college, and then I went, okay, I can go now and pursue this dream. And I went, I played in Costa Rica, I went to different places, I tried out everywhere that I could, and I was not getting the opportunity. And it came down to, I was 24 years old, I remember one day waking up in the morning and saying, I kind of need money, and I don't have any more money to keep doing this dream, and I have a degree. I was in Panama at the time, and I said, well, I just hung up the boots and said, I'm going to get me a job. And at the time, Panama, you know, you speak English. If you speak English and Spanish, that's very good. And, you know, I found me a job very quickly. And, you know, I think I got depressed for about 2 weeks. And then I quickly transitioned into a new dream. Now I didn't want to be a soccer player anymore. Now I wanted to be the best that I could be with my professional career. And then I went on that quest.
Now this is phase four. You no longer a soccer player. You're now soccer. This is my thing now. I am no longer a soccer player. I'm going to be an accountant. I'm going to go to pursue that dream. But then something happened. What changed?
So what changed? I guess when I went on the quest of I wanted to be somebody now in as a professional player, as a professional career, you know, a finance guy, you know. I wanted to be, you know, a banker, a big banker, whatnot, you know, whatever. That also led me to, I wanted to be in business. It was like I was on a quest for something. It was first soccer, you know, then this career thing, then business. Then, I don't know, I was always on a quest. And then, you know, I met the Lord. And essentially, what it did for me was that he told me, Christian, you don't need to be any of these things. You need to stop trying to be somebody. I take you the way that you are. So that, what I call, I encounter his love, changed my life. Because he freed me from anything that I was seeking, that tireless effort that I was putting on. You know, trying to be somebody, trying to get into business, trying to be the best at my work, trying to get the promotion, you know, just seeking that validation, that acceptance in anything that I was doing in my life. He pretty much took it away and freed me from that. Okay, so I got another piece that I want to share. So you know, I told you guys that you know, wanted to be a soccer player all my life. That's most, you know, that's like 60% of my life because I'm only 33. You know, I'm a baby still, right? Right. So up until I was 24, you know, soccer was my life. Then 24 and on is professional and business. Along this whole journey, though, I started developing this little change on me that I didn't even know. For example, when I was 13, I was introduced to pornography. And everybody's got quiet, you know. So if there's any kids here, please, you got to go. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. So I was introduced to pornography. I started, you know, seeing women differently. I started, like, hanging out with, you know, my boys. And, you know, if you're in any athletic sports, you know that athletes and girls and, you know, popularity, all that comes, you know, pretty close to each other. And I, you know, I was on this thing that, you know, I wanted to be the one who had the most girlfriends or the one that was the most liked, you know, and so forth. And that developed, you know, that was a chain that was growing at the same, you know, parallel, right, on the next to my life trying to be somebody. Then when I turn, you know, when I get into my point where I cannot be a soccer player anymore, you know, I find myself addicted to pornography, addicted to wanting to party and wanting to get validation, not from the things that I'm pursuing because I can't, more from women and you know, friends and things like that. So I was about 28 years old when God became kind of serious in my life. I'm married at this time, and I'm like, okay, I need to stop watching this thing because, it, you know, this, I can't live with my wife and having, you know, having this addiction. When I realized that I needed to stop, guess what? I was a prisoner. I had no idea. I couldn't get rid of it. And that's when a miracle happened. About 4 years after that, I remember it was about around May of 2017, right here in this church, no kidding. You know, I went and it was baptism day. I decided to get baptized for the first time in my life, you know, by my own decision. And I don't know, something happened. I'm not saying that it's about getting in the water, but something happened the day that I made that choice of, you know what, I'm going to pursue Jesus and do whatever the Bible says. I'm just going to go after that. And it happened that day. I got in the water. When I came out of the water, I felt this weird butterfly in my chest. It was weird. I don't know what was that. But 1 week went by, 2 weeks went by, 3 weeks went by, and I am not watching pornography. And I'm like, yo, this is kind of weird. What's going on? Well, I realized then, a couple years after that, I realized that God, by just getting to know his love, not by trying to stop watching porn, because I couldn't. I tried all that I could. But just by getting to know who he is, just getting to know the man, the Jesus name, who that person is, and what he did for me, and what he really means in his feelings, just getting to know this man as a person, freed me all of a sudden from an addiction that I didn't even know that I had. And he did. So that's a supernatural thing that he did for me. And ever since I knew how, you know, what he did for me, I said, you know, I will never be the same. And I'll never be the same ever since. Give it up
for... All right, give it up for Christian. Thank you so much, bud, for sharing. All right, come on, do better than that. As I was chatting with Christian regarding his story, and when we hear the word porn, there seems to be a red flag. Not that seems. A red flag is raised automatically. But if you were to raise that and drop whatever it is that you're addicted to, whatever it is that you're having challenges with, is really what the message of what people change is. Is that you were on a mission, yet along that mission you picked up some habits along the way. But when you veered off from that mission, the habits didn't leave you, they stayed with you. You were found in bondage. And when I'm listening as Christian is sort of unraveling his story and telling about what happened and how it happened, it's amazing how when you have an encounter with Jesus, something changes. It wasn't the fact that he was trying. So many people try to help him with soccer, but it was people. His desires were directed in a different direction. He then decided to pursue becoming a professional. That didn't do it either. But all aren't we glad that when we come in contact with the person of Jesus, everything changes. If you were to think about a person who was living on a mission, I will be forced to think about the Apostle Paul. As we were sort of preparing to sort of get into this message, I began to sort of read and to sort of think about who was and who is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is the what we would call, after Jesus, Christians consider the Apostle Paul to be one of the most important figures in Christianity. Matter of fact, if this was a radio station, come on, this was a radio station, some of you would be a K-Love at this point. Some of you might not like K-Love. In New York, we had Hot 97, which would be 97.1. It's not quite Christian, but depending on the song, it might be a hit that's in there. But if this was a radio station, and we were playing, the greatest hits would be the verses of the Apostle Paul. And now coming at number three, it would be Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other, just as in fact you are doing. That would be number three on my list. I don't know what yours would be. And coming in hot at number two, we've had Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet you at all of your needs according to your riches and all of his glory in Christ Jesus. But just so you know, I actually Googled the Apostle Paul, most famous verses. I did, I'm sorry. And my personal favorite one, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul, the apostle, the man who is attributed to have written 13 actual books of the Bible, 13 out of 27. Paul, a man who had dual citizenship, was able to preach to both the Romans and the Jews at the time Jesus, at the time that the Romans and the Jews were Jesus' biggest prosecutors. A church planter, opening several churches in both Asia and Europe. Asia Minor at that time was the Hollywood of the ancient times. And if you were anybody or somebody, you were actually in Asia Minor. That would be your spot. That's the Apostle Paul we're talking about. A man who now is living on a mission. Most interesting part about that is that we seem to forget who the Apostle Paul was. And similar to what we just talked about with Christian and how his story has changed. And we tend sometimes to live our lives based upon people's highlights, especially on this age in which we live in today with social media between Instagram and Facebook, to where you see that video and that's what you seem to know. And when in turn, that is really not reality. But what we see with the Apostle Paul at the latest age, as I'm introducing this to you now, is the man who's living at the highlight, the man who is the man, the myth, and the legend, who is the Apostle Paul, the one who, other than Jesus, is considered to be one of the most famous ones in the Bible. Let me introduce you to Saul of Tarsus. In Acts 9, he's believed to be the man who was trying to kill all the Christians and the Lord's followers. Saul's mission was solely to prosecute him and to bring them back in chains to pay for what he had called to be his transgressions. But there, on Acts 9, if you were to bring that up, Gabe, Paul, or Saul, in the road to Damascus, has an encounter with Jesus. Now, Saul of Tarsus is actually the same person who I just told you in the first section, who is Paul. But something changed in his life. And this is a theme that has been prosecuted for the past 5 weeks in terms of what we're talking about. The question is, what changed? Ask Liz what changed, as she shared 2 weeks ago. As she was going through her struggles in her life, attempting suicide multiple times, something changed. If you were to ask Susie, who was here last week, and she was telling in terms of when she was sort of working herself, trying to entrust it in all that she could, something changed. Or you could try to ask Eli as he's walking into the woods, attempting to take his own life. Something changed. And this is sort of let you into a little bit of what happens in the background. Sometimes we hear stories, but we don't have most of it. I remember receiving a phone call or a text message saying, somebody saw a post online and something is going to happen. We believe that Eli, and there was a post that was posted. And then all of a sudden I would begin, let's call this person, let's call that person. Something comes in. And it's insane how this works itself out. As long as I'm talking to Christian outside, I remember and them having conversations. Guess who was the first person who found Eli on the woods? Christian Ramirez. A man who has now been changed. It's now causing change in somebody else's lives. As we see and we look at the juxtaposition between Paul and Saul and how their lives and how one man who is a prosecutor now becomes the prosecuted for the cause of Christ. At one point he says, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That is the same man who wrote to the synagogue saying, I will like permission to hunt these Christians down and bring them back in chains and have them prosecuted. What changed? If you were to read on Acts 9, verse 3, it says that as Saul was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down. Around him he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul. A voice shone down while he was on his mission. As I was listening to the podcast and sort of trying to get a little bit of a lead in terms of, you know, what really causes this change that we are so talking about. If we believe that people indeed can change, what is it and how is it affected? And it seems like the common ground is that we were all going on a mission. Listening to Susie speak is that she was going through it, but something led it. A line was shown down, like it says when he was running out in Acts 9. There's something about when you are left on this place of questioning, when you are on a mission, but yet you're paused, something happens. A light gets shining on it, and you begin to realize that a change is about to come. Let me bring this to mind to you. If you're on that place this morning, that is a place that God wanted you to be. That was the opportunity he was creating. Dr. Tony Evans actually refers to this as God is a master puppeteer. That everything that is happening around you, that everything that is going, God is just funneling it all in so that you can come to have an encounter with the person of Jesus. If you're finding yourself having questions, like Saul was, and the Bible says that, verse 9, that he hears the voice of Jesus. At first he says, who are you, Lord? Just to sort of let you guys in my little world. As I was getting ready this morning, I left my office, walked away. I come back, Zozo, my young one, is sitting on my computer. And she's got that look on her face like she did something, which is what I just looked to here in my notes. She actually typed a whole page. Just to let you in on my little words, a good thing I actually worked this thing around all over. As Saul comes to Jesus, he says, who are you, Lord? He responds to the question. I think that is so important. I think at times God is trying to talk to us. He is creating situations. He's orchestrating things so that we are able to come to an encounter with him. Yet, we are so busy-minded. Our mission seems to, or the addictions that we picked up while we were on our missions, they are there to keep us distracted from what God is trying to do. And when the moment is created that God is trying to approach you, the addictions are there meant to keep you from listening to his voice. But when the light shines on you in that moment, that means that God is bringing you closer to what he's trying to do in your life. I'd like to press pause on that for a second, because I believe that this is a message of two layers. It's a message of Paul, or Saul, who becomes Paul, a man on a mission. And it's also a message of a man who's already living on purpose. When the Bible says there is a man, a Christian, a believer, who receives a call from God, So a man already living on purpose receives an assignment from God. As Saul falls down and has an encounter with Jesus, he is then blinded and is told, go to the city and wait for your next command. God turns around, talks to Ananias, comes to Ananias in a vision and says, go look for this man Saul and tell him what I'm telling you to do. At first, Ananias says, no. Saul is the one who was trying to kill me. Why would I then be the one brought and led to talk to him? I believe, and initially when I was putting this together, my entire train thought was about on a mission and an encounter with Jesus. But the more I read it, the more I begin to understand that this really is about people changing people. Their stories are particularly intertwined. One man sees Jesus or hears Jesus, is blinded, and is waiting. The other is already a believer. He then hears Jesus and is receiving an assignment. They both hear him. They both respond. Regardless whether you are saved or not saved, God is talking. God is speaking. He's attempting to bring you to this point, to this road of Damascus, so that you can come to your purpose. Not a mission, but a purpose, a God-driven purpose to take you to this place that only He can take you. Reading back a little bit more, if you sort of go down the book of Acts 9, as he comes and he speaks to the Apostle Paul, Acts 9, verse 3, he then tells him exactly what God told him to do. And if you scroll down a little bit, the Lord told Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible thing this man has done to believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized to be leading priests' arrests and call upon his name. If you continue to go further down, as he comes up to talk to Paul, that would be on verse 17. God tells Ananias to talk to Paul and says, go to Saul. Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he has to suffer for the sake of my name. Further down in 17, Ananias comes up to Paul, or Saul at that time, and says, Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that God has brought you to this place to where you are now, looking to have an encounter with you. But I also believe that God has assigned somebody else to meet you at that point. This is the story of Christianity. If you think that this gig involves you getting blessed by yourself, doing your own thing, and just riding down a road, boo-boo, this is the wrong gig for you. Whether you're Paul or Saul, or whether you're Ananias who is a believer, who hears from God, and actually attempts to turn around and run from the assignment that God had given him, this morning, I would like to challenge you, whether you are Saul who becomes Paul, or whether you're Ananias. And the interesting part about the life of Ananias, he is not mentioned much. He's mentioned one time. And as I continue to look up, there's a few different Ananias in that, but it's a totally different. This Ananias mentioned one time. It might be that your assignment is to bring somebody else out of their bondage to push them into. It might be that you're actually Paul, Saul, who becomes Paul and becomes one of the most, the biggest characters in the Bible. However, you are still sitting on that place. And the question is, God is talking. Will you respond to his call? My challenge to you this morning is to bring you out of your zone of comfort. I should have muted that before I came up. Is wherever you are in life, God is talking to you. And he's attempting to take you away from your mission and everything that you have picked up along the way. And he wants you to put and to place you on purpose. Will you receive that call this morning? Will you respond to God as he's speaking to you in the midst of your storm? Will you respond to him as you're bringing yourself to this challenging moment where things were supposed to go one way, but they're going another? I mean, you are on a mission. You are shooting for it. You have it written down in terms of who you are, what you're trying to do, but you're coming to a stop, and God is saying, hey, I'm trying to talk to you. I have something higher for you. There's something that goes beyond what you're living that I have just for you. Will you respond to that call this morning? I'd like to call the band up. And we will be given the opportunity to listen and respond. We will sing another song. But most importantly is that God, whether you're saved, whether you're Ananias on this story, or whether you're Paul at the road of Damascus, coming to hear and to see the person of Jesus. The most important part for me on this is at the end, after Ananias comes and he speaks to Paul, he tells him, there is a mission, there is a call, and there is a purpose for your life. But the most important part, it says that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. This morning, I would like to veer you off of whatever it is that you're trying to be filled with. There are so many things that keep getting dumped in our lives. There's so many different avenues between Instagram, but between your mother-in-law's voice. My mother-in-law is a blessing, though. Not my mother-in-law, your mother-in-law. Your cousins and the pressures that come along with our living our lives that are blocking you and stopping you from walking into what God has for your life. Purpose is what we're saying that Jesus wants to offer you this morning. He is calling you out of your mission into purpose. The message this morning for you is God is meeting you at the road in which you're in. Will you listen to him call your name this morning? Will you hear his sweet voice calling you out of whatever it is that you're trying to shoot for? For his plans are higher than our plans.